Are you going to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints? Or are you going to settle just for a faith that is primarily shaped to suit your culture and your lifestyle?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think unfortunately, many have been settling for a faith that suits their culture and lifestyle, but we need to know and understand how we contend for the faith.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. And you know, there is a massive market today for a faith.
Yeah.
And the question for many is, even in church world, now what are people looking for? What are they after? And how do we deliver what they're after in terms of the spiritual side of their lives? And so much these days is self-defined by the individual, and then the pressure is on for churches and ministries to move in that direction. It's fascinating to me that in the last little letter before Revelation, the little letter of Jude in the New Testament,
yeah,
Jude says, "Now, I'd wanted to write a letter about our common salvation, but I found it necessary to contend for the faith." Now, we live in a culture where people say, well, who's to say what the faith is?
Right.
You know, can't we all define it for ourselves? Well, the answer of Jude would be, no, Jesus Christ has defined it. The apostles have defined it. There is such a thing as the faith. And as believers, we've got to hold it, mm-hmm, and we've got to contend for it. And that's what the letter of Jude is all about.
And that's exactly what this series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, is all about. So if you can, I hope you will open your Bible to the book of Jude as we begin a message entitled, Build Yourself Up. Here's Pastor Colin.
Well, I invite you to open your Bibles, please, at the letter of Jude. Now, this marvelous letter in the New Testament was written to a group of believers who were finding it increasingly difficult to live out their life of faith. As you'll see from verse 4, some of them were discouraged because there were a growing number of leaders in the church whose lives were marked by compromise and whose teaching was marked by error. Many people had been taken in by these trends, and the result was that as the church moved forward, the preaching of the Word of God was increasingly difficult to find, and moral standards were generally in decline even amongst God's people. In fact, to get a description of the quality of leadership that was beginning to emerge within the churches, you only need to look at verse 12. It's pretty sobering stuff. Shepherds, says Jude, who feed only themselves. Here, in other words, were pastors being appointed within the churches who were trusted with the care of God's flock, but ended up evidently only being concerned with their own careers. Clouds without rain, he says, verse 12. Spiritual leaders who seemed to have some authentic walk with God and some promise of spiritual help, but actually were personally like spiritual dry wells. A conversation with one of these shepherds might be interesting and stimulating, but they were able to offer nothing that would be like water to a thirsty soul. Blown along by the wind, says Jude. Here were people who took their direction from the prevailing winds of the culture. Minds filled with marketing and with management, but devoid of communion with Jesus Christ. Without faith and uprooted, he says. Their lives, in other words, became filled with fruitless activity. And the reason that all this activity was fruitless is that it was not rooted deeply in the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't know what he was talking about? This is as powerful a description as you will find anywhere in the Bible about the way in which ministry becomes compromised. About the way in which a church can begin with a sense of calling, but can all too easily slide into becoming a self-perpetuating institution. Now remember that Jude is writing late in the first century. The first generation of Christians are almost all gone. The torch is now being passed to a new generation. And Jude writes to them and begins his letter in verse 3 by saying, now you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Because you're going to find in this new generation, Jude says, that even in church world, the faith is being eroded, it's being reshaped, and it's being repackaged. And you're going to have to decide, in this new generation, are you going to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints, or are you going to settle just for a faith that is primarily shaped to suit your culture and your lifestyle? Now, in a world in which we see increasingly the Church of Jesus Christ being invaded by moral compromise and doctrinal error, what are we to do? And Jude answers that question very simply in the last six verses of this wonderful letter. We can summarize his message in this way. Keep yourself in spiritual shape. And Jude is very practical because he breaks down what that means into identifiable steps for us to follow. He gives us what I'm going to describe as seven workouts for a healthy Christian life. Now, many of us will be committed to some kind of fitness program. Some of us work with a coach. Some of us work with a personal trainer. And you're familiar with the fact that the coach gives to you an exercise program, a fitness routine that is geared to getting yourself in physical shape. And of course, a good exercise routine will work on different muscle groups. You know, this one's for your abs, and this one's for your quads, and so it goes on. Well, Jude gives us a balanced workout for a healthy spiritual life. And I do want to emphasize that this series, therefore, needs to be taken as a whole. You know, there are some folks who always want to work on one muscle group to the neglect of all the others, and that is not the way to get yourself in good shape. In any routine, we'll be drawn to some exercises that we like. We'll be tempted to neglect other exercises that don't appeal to us so much. But it's usually the ones that we're tempted to neglect that we're most in need of actually doing. Now, like any good coach, Jude's instructions on the exercise routine are very simple. Picture him there in his tracksuit on the field. He's standing in the center. Jude is our coach, and he's got the clipboard. And here we are, the congregation this morning, and we're gathered around Jude, who is our coach. And he's been telling us what we're going to be up against in the next meet. It's going to be a tough one, folks. And so we're going to really have to get ourselves in shape. And so he says there in verse 20, but you, dear friends, and he's going to tell us now what we need to do. Build yourselves up in your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful to those who doubt. To others show mercy mixed with fear. To him who is able to keep you from falling be glory forevermore. Amen. Now these six verses are really like a gold mine of how to live the Christian life, especially in a world of doctrinal confusion and of moral compromise. And so we're going to camp ourselves for these next weeks over this gold mine. We're going to work with the trainer, Jude, to get ourselves into spiritual shape. Now, before we come to the first of the seven workouts this morning, I want to ask the obvious question, which is simply, what kind of spiritual shape are you in right now? Now, it's an important question because evangelicals place a tremendous amount of stress on spiritual life. See, we emphasize the importance of the new birth. We rejoice when people give testimonies of how they came to spiritual life in Jesus Christ. But remember that spiritual life is no guarantee of spiritual health. You may be spiritually alive in Jesus Christ, but the question we're facing on these Sunday mornings is, are you spiritually fit? Now, we all know what it is to feel physically out of shape. You just begin to become aware of that within your own self, and you know that you need to do something about it. What does it look like when you begin to get spiritually out of shape?
Well, we're going to answer that question in just a moment. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Build Yourself Up. It's part of our series, Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
What does it look like when you begin to get spiritually out of shape? Let me give you some symptoms. You can measure yourself by them. When I experience a loss of vigor and of vision, a lethargy creeps in so that the service God has called me to, which was a joy to me before, now becomes a drudgery to continue. When the enjoyment of God and the word and worship begins to be eclipsed, when I no longer experience the nearness of God as I used to, nor feel any brokenness within my own spirit as I see myself and how I need to change. A loss of gratitude, in which I become far more preoccupied with something I want that God didn't give me than all that God did give me that I never deserved. A loss of spiritual hunger and thirst. David says, as a deer pants for springs of living water, that's how my soul longs after you, O God. That's the normal condition of a soul that's in good and healthy shape. And when I begin to experience the absence of that hunger, then I know that I'm getting out of shape spiritually. A loss of compassion. And I begin to feel that other people are a drain. I don't have the time. We become impatient with the faults of other people. The needs of others seem to be a burden. We feel frustrated that other people don't make more progress. Now, if you begin to see these things emerging within your soul, it is a sure sign that you are getting out of spiritual shape. And there's only one way to deal with that problem, and that is to get into God's exercise room. That's where we're going to be over these next weeks, as Jude is our coach and our trainer. But before we get to the first workout, I want to take a moment just to give a word of encouragement. The way that God has ordered the church is that there should be shepherds for the flock of God's sheep. The word pastor simply means shepherd. And one of the highest callings and privileges of a pastor is to encourage another believer in their walk with God. You have a pastor who cares about your soul. The vast majority of us are used to going regularly to the doctor just for a checkup. We say, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just going for a checkup. But for some reason, it would never occur to some of us that it might be profoundly helpful to take precisely the same initiative and opportunity with regard to our souls. Now, I want you to understand, and it's important that the whole congregation understands this clearly, that pastoral staff positions in this church have been created from the deep conviction that the primary calling of a pastor is not to run a program, but to shepherd a group of people. That may be somewhat unusual in our culture, but it is profoundly biblical. We are God's people. We are the sheep under his care, and God has appointed shepherds within the flock. There is somebody who cares for your soul. Now, the other reason for mentioning that this morning is that I want in this series to take the kind of practical spiritual encouragement that would often go on in these private one-to-one meetings and to bring that out into the open and to share it here with the whole congregation. I want to speak over these Sunday mornings as I would eyeball to eyeball with someone who came and gave me the opportunity of counseling with them and encouraging them. And they would say to me, you know, I feel spiritually dried up. I feel all bent out of shape. I don't know where to go. You see, these are the issues that Pastor Jude, the Apostle Jude, is addressing. Now, spiritual fitness, and I found this very fascinating just over the years to observe the pattern, that spiritual fitness really revolves around seven areas. Seven ways in which we can easily become spiritually flabby. There's a loss of faith, or a decline in prayer, or a lack of love, or a loss of hope, or a losing of urgency that we once felt about our calling, a compromise in purity, a loss of confidence. These are the seven areas in which, above all else, we need to keep ourselves in spiritual shape. They are the seven areas identified by Jude for the workout that we need in God's gymnasium. So with that long introduction this morning, let's now turn to the first workout, which you'll find in verse 20. First workout. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now remember that Jude is talking to believers here. Those who have embraced faith in Jesus Christ. And Jude says, yes, you've embraced that faith. It's been entrusted once for all to the saints. But now you must build yourself up in it. There may be times when your faith seems to be at a low ebb. You feel you're not growing. There may even be times when you say to yourself, you know, I wonder if I'm really a Christian at all. And Jude says, here's where you need to begin. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. That's the first thing you need to work on if you're to get yourself in spiritual shape. Now, the obvious question then is, okay, how are we going to do that? Now, I want to suggest four very practical exercises, four exercises that will help us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. First, give thanks for your faith. Now, one of Satan's greatest strategies against a believer is to seek to discredit your faith. Have you ever had something running in your mind that says, you know, for all the years I'm a Christian, my faith seems to be so puny, so weak, so small, so embarrassingly little in its growth and development? You see, that's what the enemy loves to shoot into your mind. And there's only one way to counteract that strategy. And that is to recognize that the faith that you have, however small it is a miracle and a gift from God, and therefore to give thanks for it. There's a wonderful story about a lady who came to see a pastor because she felt spiritually out of shape. She felt dried up. She felt when she came to worship that she was on the outside and she was looking in. And as she explained her sense of spiritual dryness, she at one point broke down as she said, I sometimes wonder if I'm really a Christian at all. The pastor took a piece of paper and he wrote on it these words, I do not love Jesus Christ. He then printed the woman's name at the bottom of the piece of paper. He handed the piece of paper to the woman and he said, I want you to sign this. The woman took the piece of paper. She read it. I do not love Jesus Christ. I can't sign that, she said. Of course you can't, said the pastor. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because you are a child of God. Now stop complaining about how weak your faith is and start thanking God for the miracle he has done in your life, and your faith will begin to grow. Now, if your faith is at a low ebb this morning, this is where you begin. You look up into the face of Almighty God and you say, thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in me. And when you begin to give thanks for what God has done and for what he is doing in your own life, then you will find that a cloud lifts and your faith begins to grow. You see, we need to learn to discern the work of the Holy Spirit. If you cannot see anything that God is doing in your life, if you cannot see what God has done in your life, then the problem is with your ability to see. Jesus says, my Father is always at work, and I am working too. That's where the ministry of encouragement can sometimes be so important. If you can't see what God is doing in your life, perhaps a friend can, and they can say to you, well, I see God doing this. Perhaps a pastor can, and he or she can say to you, I can see God doing this. And it's a means of wonderful encouragement. See, faith is like a bulb that is planted in the ground. Dig out a hole, and then what's the next thing that happens? A load of dirt gets dumped on top of this little bulb. It's a miracle that it survives, isn't it? But you see, it has life in it. And that life pushes its way through all of the muck. And eventually you see a little shoot just peeping through the ground. You say, that's amazing. There's life there. Now you think of everything that is arrayed against your faith. How come your faith survived all the unanswered questions of your life? How come your faith survived all the bitter disappointments that you've faced? How come your faith survived all the exhausting struggles that you've been through? How come that at the end of all that, you still would have to say, I love Jesus Christ? The amazing thing is not that your faith is weak, but that it exists at all. Begin here. There is only one explanation of your faith. It is the gift of God. It is the result of the prayers of Jesus that have sustained it when all kinds of opposition was dumped upon it, and it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that has caused it to keep growing.
And that's where we have to hit the pause button today. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, Build Yourself Up. It's part of a series, Keep Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. And in this series, Pastor Colin is giving us 7 spiritual workouts from the book of Jude, helping us get into spiritual shape. If you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can also listen on demand through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find at your app store, or you can order a copy of the entire series on CD. Ask about keeping yourself in spiritual shape when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, one of the things that my family and I love to do is to go hiking. And Colin, I think it would be a lot of fun to go on a hike with you. And right now, we have an opportunity for listeners to join you on a hike.
Yes, I am inviting you to join me on a hike through the Bible, and it is going to be a gentle, easy pace of a hike. Each week, you'll read a chapter of the Bible and a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible. And in 1 year, you'll have read 50 chapters of the Bible. You'll have grasped the big picture of the Bible story. And most of all, you'll have grown in your love for Jesus Christ. Now, there's a Hike Through the Bible podcast to help you on this journey. In each episode, I read a chapter of the book and then I discuss it with some friends. So get started now. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I think a lot of us are going to enjoy taking that hike with you. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
everyone has questions about heaven. But the question that matters most is, how do you get there? Many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good enough life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can you. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. Many have found that this story opens their eyes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the hope of heaven. You can watch the Heaven, How I Got Here film for free on the Open the Bible website. For more information, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.